Are you all well? Oh, there's some people well here. Thank you, Pastor Andres. I just want to thank you for the privilege of being here and inviting me. And after last year, I didn't think they're going to invite me back again. But I've known Pastor Andres for, I think, almost 20 years now. And so if you're here in Hermanus or in this surroundings or you're moving here, this is a great church and a great man of God to come and submit to. And to he's really a blessing to us, and especially with your integrity and your truth. So I just want to honor you for that. Pastor Mario, that's here for many years, and we want to honor you as well. So just thank you for being here, for coming to church on such a hot day. You could have been at the beach. Why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you look better in church than out there. You know, sometimes, especially if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a long time, we become professional at what we do. We become used to doing things, and we sort of almost lose the wow in what we have and what Christ has done for us. And it almost becomes like, oh, you become just, hey, I've seen that, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. And all of us that are married, you know, it's so easy to not be thankful for stuff that we just assume are there. You know, we sort of, you have a wife and then you wake up and you just assume she must make you coffee or you must do this. Or it's so easy for us to become creatures of habit. Did you know that? How many of you are like that, you know? I still lose my keys. I still, you know, don't know where the stuff is. And that's why I've got a beautiful, amazing wife that always knows where everything is, you know? And so I just say, where's my keys? And then she knows where it is. So, hallelujah, two's better than one. But you know, we come to Christ. We come to the gospel. And we've come to a time where we're living where the gospel is under great challenges, especially in the West. Because we've become a postmodern society. We've become used to thinking that, oh, we don't need God. God doesn't exist. There's so many stuff coming at us as believers. Or if you're here today and you're not a believer, then I want you just to open up your heart. Just don't think so much as what you just open up your heart, your need for acceptance and your need for love. And so at the beginning of a year, we always want good news. Would you agree with me? Okay, I had a friend a couple of years ago. He came to me. He says, "I've got such good news for you." And I said, "Oh, what's that?" You know, you're almost like excited for good news. Who's excited when good news comes to you? Okay, all of us. Good news, you know. And so he said, "The good news is I bumped your car." And I said, "What does that mean? What's the good news?" He says, "Now you have an opportunity to forgive me." He said, and you've got an opportunity to grow, and you've got an opportunity to trust God in faith for finances to fix your car. Yeah, and I was thinking, that's not good news. we want good news to make us feel happy. And I almost hit him, and I said, yeah, great. You know, thank you for keeping me closer to God. You know, we have friends for certain reasons. But I'm gonna share the good news with us this morning, because the good news is good news. And whether you're an old Christian or whether you just got saved or whether you're not saved, I want to share some stuff with us, maybe take a little bit of a different angle, because Christ has come to give us life. And that is good news. When we look at the newspaper today or tomorrow, whenever you open up or you look on the television or television or however you want to call it, you know, then we are bombarded with fear. We are bombarded with a lot of stuff. And everything is gripping. It's going for one thing. It's going for your heart. It's going to condition your heart to think in a certain way or to respond in a certain way. But God's invitation is still the same throughout all the ages. God has never changed. And I love what David writes. He says, "You are the rock of ages. You are the tower of strength into which I run." The most secure, profound, unchangeable thing and person that you will know in this year is God. He doesn't change. He's not caught by surprise. Have you thought that in this year there's not one day that he doesn't know already today what's going to happen in December of this year. So if they say if there's an earthquake, people run to the place where there's no shaking, because some people even lose their heads in an earthquake. Because we're going through confusion, or there's a lot of stuff, but when there's an earthquake, you always run to the place of safety, of security. My grandmother was in the Cirrus earthquakes, and my mother and all the six children, they were there, and she ran to the kitchen where there was a big table, and she took all the children under the table while the earthquake was happening, and she just closed her eyes and they started to pray, and she thought the table was still over her head. At the end of the earthquake, that table was standing on the other side of the room, you know. So it says, just make sure that whatever you run to, the security that you run to is the safe place. Because some people run into stuff, some people grab onto stuff, but that's not a safe thing to hold on to. Whether it's the shares, or whether it's this, or whether it's whatever it is. Today you have it, tomorrow it's gone. Make sure you are anchored in the right place. And so I want to share a couple of thoughts about this gospel, the gospel of good news, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus introduced it like this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul later wrote, and he says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So it's the gospel of the kingdom. We're talking about a gospel of the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? It's simply, it's where the king reigns. It's where Christ reigns in our lives. And you and I have an opportunity today to say, God, maybe there's an area in my life where you don't reign, but I want you to be king. And king means lordship, means owner, means master, means the one who has complete control over your life. And so Jesus said, the kingdom, repent, turn, because the kingdom of God is at hand. I want to say to you this morning, maybe you don't believe in God. I want to say to you, the kingdom of God is at hand right here in your life. You are here for a purpose. You are here because God has set you up to meet with him, to experience who he is. Later on, it says, you know, when Jesus said it, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if you want a success story for this year, then I want to give you that scripture, Matthew 6. It says, if you want all things to be added to you, if you want to make it through this year and next year, this time, stand before God and say, wow, I was significant. I've seen things happen in my life. Then it says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the king's heart. Seek first the king's life. Seek the kingdom of God in your life. And then all things. But he says in the middle, there's a righteousness. What is righteousness? It just means to stand in a right relationship before God. That ability to stand free before him. That ability to know him. That ability to say, wow, God, doesn't matter what my circumstances are, I am free. Doesn't matter if I have a lot or if I have nothing. I am free because my identity and security is in Christ. You know, I've seen the most amazing free people in prison. I've been had the privilege of being in many prisons. I remember being in one in Pakistan where there were people on death row. And there I met believers that were more free than most believers that I've seen in the West. They would sing out of their hearts, not afraid of death, not afraid of fear, not afraid of anything. Just crying and weeping before God and say, God, we've met you. So we cannot die. How can you die if you've met God? Because his life, there's eternal life in him. And there's this one thing. My parents are a bit older. They are retired. They're not really retired because they're all over the place. But so they're in Claymont, a little place close by. And every time we get there, they just like talk about another friend that has gone to heaven, you know. So it's quite depressing sometimes if you go and visit them, because then they give you all the news of all the other friends. Oh, that auntie and that wimpy and that, you know. But for a Christian, the amazing thing is it's a reward. That's real retirement is up there. I mean, it's nothing to be afraid of, because why? We've seen the kingdom and his righteousness. Listen to Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. It doesn't change. It's unshakable. is the kingdom of God. And that kingdom starts when it comes in our hearts, in our lives, in you and me. Okay, I'm going to preach till about 3 o'clock. So if I get some more amens, we're going to go home earlier. Okay. I've been up in Africa and in lots of places in the East, and a church service there is up to 7 hours. So I'm just busy with the introduction. The more I get amens, the more I think there's agreement. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Some people have got chicken in the oven. Okay. And here in Matthew 6, Jesus also said, your kingdom come. This is how we should pray every day. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus started to introduce a gospel of the kingdom, good news. That's the gospel. It's good news. I'm bringing you good news today. Good news that will satisfy you every day of your life. If you stick with this good news, it doesn't change. You know, we see lots of churches today, even charismatic churches, lots of people that they are preaching different gospels. They're not preaching the gospel of Jesus anymore. Even in our nation, there are great denominations and people that are moving away from the gospel and the truth in Jesus Christ. And the moment when we move away from that, we are in trouble because we're trying to change Christ. We're trying to change truth, which is absolute, by the way. I've got a friend that, he ministers in a lot of places where people are atheists, they don't believe in God. And then they all say, no, truth is not absolute. And then he says, are you absolutely sure? Yes. Well, you just made an absolute statement that there is no absolute truth. So that is absolute statement about absolutity. Is there a word like that? No, I don't think so. It just sounds good. Okay. Absolutity. Okay. So the second thing I want to share, I'm going to share 25 things with you. No, I'm only joking. If you behave well, we won't go too long. The second thing is it's a gospel of love. The thing that I've discovered with all the other religions and with even places of no religion, there's a deep place of emptiness or loneliness in every other religion or non-religion. People are intensely lonely, and most religions are driven by fear. True Christianity is the only good news of love. Of a God that says, I come to choose you before you choose me. Before you do good works, before you do great regulations and rules, and do all these things that would satisfy me, there's a God in heaven that says, look here, I'm going to tell you who I am by sending my son to you. It's a gospel of love. And that love demands a response of you and me. That love says you have a choice whether you want to respond or not. That love is open to complete rejection from his side. Every other God is not open to rejection because that God determines how you should respond. True Christianity is about a God that says, I am opening myself up to be vulnerable to a humankind that has already rejected me, and I'm going to tell them how much I love them. And I'm going to send the best to them. My son. How many of you here have got children? Okay? How many of you are willing to sacrifice that children for people in China that you've never met? Come on. Anybody here? How many of you are willing to bring that child up here today, sacrifice that child for some people that you have never met? Maybe you'll do it for your brother or your sister, or give a liver or a kidney, or just, you know, for an operation. We do stuff like that, but we don't sacrifice our children. So I want to tell you, if you're a non-believer, especially here today, do you know what? You will never experience love like this. You'll never experience a love like Christ has for you and the Father has for you. But you need to make a choice about that love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only precious son. That's the heart of the gospel. That whoever believes, that's the but. You must believe. You must accept that. You must turn your heart. You must say, yes, you will not perish. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. It's a gospel of love. It's a gospel of good news. With that, Isaiah 52, verse 7, listen to this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Isaiah prophesied, it says, hey, when people bring it over the mountains, the good news, it's how blessed are they? When they say God reigns, God reigns. I want to say to you this morning, God reigns. He's not a dead God. If you're worshiping a dead God, please walk away and just go and sin in the world. It's much better. You'll enjoy it much better because that's not life. But the true Jesus, once you found him, you will let go of everything else because you found life. It's like, hey, the pearl of greatest price. I found it. I found him. Well, actually, he was never lost. He found me. I mean, didn't your neighbor say, hey, I love that smile on your face. Why are you smiling like that with this good news? Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. Some people are staring at me like, you, yeah? I'm just warming up. Come on, guys. Okay, are you all right? Say amen. Amen. Say a woman. Just say something. Okay, just something. Okay, amen just means I agree with that. So gospel, it's the gospel proclaims peace. You will not have peace without God. He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. There are some people in this room today, you are very heavy laden and you've got a lot of anxiety. The Lord showed me earlier this morning as I was praying for you that you're walking like this. You're like dragging your feet. It's been coming for years. That Jesus is going to set you free today. He's going to unburden you. He's going to take away that. Why? Because he brings a peace that surpasses all. All understanding, it's not derived. God's shalom peace is not derived from your circumstances or whether it goes better in South Africa this year or whether whatever happens so that, oh, you know, your bank balance looks better or whatever. That's not peace. Peace comes from a condition of your heart because you know the Prince of Peace. It's good news. Now, many people stop there, but you know what? It's also a gospel of repentance. Romans chapter 2 verse 4, and I think the scripture may be wrong on there. Romans chapter 2 verse 4, it's, you know, when we repent, when we turn to God, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We love to talk about the love part of the gospel, but we don't like to talk about what's the conditions. And in the church today, we are so afraid to talk about repentance. But how can we talk about a good news gospel if we don't tell you how do you get it? It means the first part is repent. Repentance, metanoia, to turn away from the way, the road that you have been walking on. Turn to God. Follow him with all of your heart. You've been going on the wrong road. Metanoia, turn around. It's a change of mind and of action. Where your life begins to bear fruit worthy of repentance. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. See, repentance is a change. Something begins to happen. You don't live the same way anymore. You don't think the same way anymore. Where you were just selfish and a consumer and you destroyed people around you, suddenly you become a blessing. You become blessed. You bless other people. Wherever you go, people's lives change. You begin to not think about yourself all the time. You begin to serve others because why? You've got one desire, and that desire is to please God. You become a different person. Come on. How many wives, I want to ask you, how many of you, don't put your hands up, how many of you, your husband have got like these little stuff, these little habits that you really want to change in them? Just smile. Just smile if you like one like that, okay? Husbands, don't look to your wife right now. This is the moment. This is the awkward, weird moment. Just look right in front of you, okay? Just stare in front of you. Some of you are enjoying this too much, okay? Some of the ladies. But we all have a desire because there's some stuff in the people, especially in our families. I don't know, you know, you always have these some family members that irritate you a little bit, and you know, hopefully they're not sitting next to you today, you know, But we have these people that we just think like, yeah, this, if only this can change in this person. Change is very difficult. Repentance also, but it's actually so easy. Because God gives you grace to repent. God releases an ability in you because He comes to save you. He comes to throw the petrol in the car so that you can go where you've just been empty. God helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. And repentance is beautiful because it cleanses us. It makes you new. Now, I've got good news for you in the fact that God doesn't do any panel beating. He brings out a new car. He makes everything new, He says. He's not into old things or in a 2001 model, you know, where the door doesn't close so lacquer anymore, you know. You really have to work hard on getting that door closed, you know. And once you close this door, that door flings open, you know. But we think like God is into that stuff because I always thought that God is a bit stingy, you know. I thought like, you know, if I come to God and I give Him my life, then do you know what? I'm going to lose so much stuff. Because God is really a spoil sport. Is that the right word? Spoil sport. I really thought that. I thought He's this old man with a stick up there that really wants to get at me. And he's really sin conscious. So He's got this little black board up there with the right marks and the wrong marks. And as long as the right marks are more than the wrong marks, I'm going to go to heaven. But you know, it's not good people that go to heaven. It's not nice people that go to heaven. It's believers that go to heaven. People that believe in what Christ has done. It's not about you. It's about your surrender to the truth about who Christ is. That's good news. So stop trying. Just surrender. Voter, surrender. Will you do that? He's in my small group, so I can pick on him. Okay. So surrender. The ability to let go. But you know why we control our lives, why we want to be in control is because we're afraid. We're afraid. Our society is driven by fear. So God calls us to repentance, Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Okay, are you still with me? Okay, we're running some, I'm just sticking to the basics this morning. Is that all right with you? Okay, I spoke to Angus on Friday and he said to me, he says the same every year. You know, on the first, he always phones me on the first, and he says, "Sias, let your main thing be your main thing." I said, "I like that." You know, because I've had too many New Year's resolutions. Oh, lose some fat, jog more, do this. No. And then 2 weeks later, it's all gone. Because we try so many things in the flesh. Yeah. And God's mercies are new every morning. God's mercies are new every morning. I mean, but when we come to Him based on His principles, then the main thing is your main thing. And that just simply is the question, who's on the throne of your life? Who's going to be on the throne of your life in 2016? Is it you? Is it somebody else that you worship? Or is it God? Because if He's on the throne, I promise you, everything is going to be 100%. I met a family in Iran. And we were sitting in their living room. And they're talking to us. And at that stage, they were the two pastors of the church. It's all underground in the church there. So it's not like we can sit publicly here. And we're sitting there and we were talking and she was talking about this church's pastor that was killed and was thrown outside of the city a year ago, and the other church's pastor who's in jail for 7 years. And then she said the following. I'll never forget it in my life. I said, "But are you not panicking? Are you not stressing because you've got no leaders?" He says, "Do you know what? No, this pastor started to preach a little bit of a compromising gospel, so it's good for him that he stays in church a little while. We've actually asked God that God will just sort him out a little bit because we want the gospel to be pure." I'm thinking like, "Oh, Lord, I repent." Because I was thinking of so many things. I was thinking like, "Well, okay, the church prays a little bit differently in some other places." Because do you know what? They don't compromise on the gospel. I remember being in Egypt, in Cairo. Chris, you were there with me, eh? And we were up there sitting with the man. I said to him, "Hey, what can the church in the West, what can we we do for you guys, yeah. And that was, what, 7 years ago or 8 years ago? Or 4 years ago. Time flies when you're having fun. 4 years ago. And we're sitting there. I remember the presence of God was so in that place. And we're sitting in the back side of a coffee shop. I'll never forget his words, because he had five friends and he already lost four that were killed for the sake of the gospel. And he said, please, you guys from the West, don't come here. We don't need your gospel. It's a defiled and a polluted gospel, because it looks just like the world. How do we look different than the world? So many times we've just become consumers. We come to church, oh God, that short guy preached too long this morning. He didn't know how hot it was. I was sitting here and there was somebody next to me that wasn't like smelling so good. So give me a break. Oh God, you didn't prophesy over me what I really wanted to know. Oh God, you didn't say just what I need. But you know, we've become consumers. My question to you today is, are you here for God or is God here for you? Why are we living here? Are you here for God? Am I here to serve Him? Now remember what he said. He said, please don't bring your gospel to Egypt. We don't need your gospel. It's a different gospel than what we find here. Gospel of repentance, a gospel of holiness, gospel of sanctification, a gospel of a group of people that are hungry for God, that are looking at the world and they're realizing, we don't want to be like the world. We don't want to live according to the standards of the world. We want to be a different, a holy, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that when people look at you, lives will change. You know, I've got a very, very amazing mother-in-law. She loves God. She's an intercessor. She just loves God. She prays all my sins away. She prays the devil away. Whenever I go home, I go and visit her. I repent before I go home. Go and visit. Because she knows all my sins. She's prayed in the war room, in the cry room. She knows everything. And she's a lady that cannot talk. She won't talk in front of other people. She can barely speak English. But I love her so much because every time I walk into her presence, I can feel God. And so she tells the story. She says last week she went to the hospital there in Durbanville somewhere. She walked in and she went to visit an auntie of hers that's in hospital. And as she walked by, she saw the ICU unit and the Holy Spirit said to her, go in there. She said, no, Lord, but it says like, no trespassers allowed. Don't go in here. ICU not allowed, you know. And she stops and the Holy Spirit says, go back. She turns back and she goes in. And as she walks in, there's a lot of nurses and doctors standing around this one bed. And they've just been trying to, boom, ba-doom, you know, resuscitate that ta-dang thing, you know. A person, because the lady there has been dead for 15 minutes already, and they tried 3 or 4 times. She's been dead. She said she just walked in, and the Lord just said, stand there, and she just stand next to the bed. The doctor looked at her, he looked back, and then suddenly the lady's heart started going again. And so, she didn't say a word, she didn't pray, she said, God has just been teaching her what the presence of God means in her life. I'm thinking like, Lord, I want that, I want your presence over my life. So I don't say fancy words, but I've come to live a holy life, a sanctified life. In Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you want to save your life? Do you want to save yourself? Keep on running, sir. You're going to end up empty. If you want to lose your life, to get life, you first need to lose your life. You lose it before Christ. You sanctify yourself. You separate yourself unto God. And then the last one, before we're going to pray, and the service is about to start. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. I've never realized it. There's at least three people that are two people and me agreeing. Romans 1:16. You see, the gospel is also a gospel of power. Many people are preaching first the gospel of power, but we shouldn't preach the gospel of power. We should first preach just the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God, there's a God in heaven that loves you so much that sent his only son to die for you. And wherever you go, just share that story. Wherever you go and preach, just share that story. Whether it's up right in the mountains. I remember last year when we were going up in India, right to the borders of Tibet, just sharing the story of Christ. Remember walking up to that little village that has never heard the gospel. Walking up there and I'm thinking like, this sounds so ridiculous. Sounds like just another story that somebody has made up. And I had a couple of moments of doubt as I was walking up. And I was thinking like, God, there's 3 million gods in the Hindu faith. What's going to make it different for this village that has never heard? Maybe they're going to just think we made up the story. So we walked up there and the elders were all sitting at the gate and we're greeting them. We're going inside. And I was thinking like, God, what? And the Lord said, worship me. So we took out a guitar. There were three people there. Started to worship. And then the people started to come. They were all curious. And the first guy that came, because in that village, the men dedicate their bodies to their gods. And then the gods take half of their body. They become lame, disabled. So they can't use the right part of their body because that's part of their sacrifice. So the first elder came and we laid hands on the guy. And the guy got healed. Oh! I loved it so much. Because if you're sick, you don't care who's praying for you, but you realize there's life. Yeah? So they started to come. We started with three. We ended up with 100, and we just prayed and sang. And then I said to PJ, the youngest guy, he was first. I said, you preach the gospel. He says, me? No, no, no. I said, you. Do you know Jesus? He said, yes. Preach it, I said to him. He says, what should I preach? I said, just tell them who Jesus is in your life. He said, okay. PJ stood up and he just told them about the cross. And then the people came, started to weep. Decades of people that had no truth. And Jesus visited that little village up there in the Himalayas. I walked out there crying and said, God, your gospel is still the same. It hasn't changed one moment. We have changed. We have moved away from you. We've trying to save ourselves. But there's a gospel, and Paul writes about it. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. The gospel of power. He's not ashamed of that gospel. I want to say to you today that I'm not ashamed of that gospel, and neither should you be. The news and everybody else is telling us something else, but there's a Christ that is alive. He's about to move on our nation. We are experiencing one of the greatest droughts in decades. We are experiencing great fear. We are experiencing people running around playing ostrich with themselves and with everybody else. And everybody is like, hey, this must fall or that must fall. I say to you, pride must fall. The sinner must fall and repent and turn to Christ. That's the only way our nation can be saved, is when we turn our hearts back to Christ. There's a redemptive purpose on this nation. Now, I remember standing in Rwanda, in Kigali. And there's a massive, massive open area. And I sent some of the team guys to go and buy bread. And I was standing there. And then this one guy came to me and he ran up and he started to shake me from the back. You know, he just shake me. And like I'm a good South African, I was thinking like, keep your possessions, you know. Somebody's trying to steal or rob you, you know. So I'm just like, and I'm turning around and this guy with his big eyes just standing there. He says, are you a Christian? I say, yes. He says, are you a pastor? I say, yes. He says, are you from South Africa? I say, yes. He says, God woke me up this morning. And I've got a word for you. I saw a tsunami breaking from the southern parts of Africa, from South Africa. Breaking over Africa. And he says, but the church must wake up in South Africa. Wake up. He turned around and he ran away. I was thinking like, is this an angel? But then I realized angels don't sweat, and this guy sweated. So I realized that's not an angel, it's a human that God has sent. And I was standing there for like a long time in this heat in Kigali. And I was just thinking, God, what if the church will become your true bride again? If we'd start to preach the gospel in the way that Christ has died for it, for the salvation of all mankind. Now today, the main thing must be the main thing in your life. Is Christ the main thing? Is Jesus the first love? Is he your first love? Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced him. Maybe here today you are troubled. You're anxious. You're afraid of what this year holds in. I've got good news for you. That there's a secret place. There's a safe place. There's a tower of strength. There's a rock on which you can build your house. And when you build your house on that rock, it will never fade away. Doesn't matter how big the storm is. Doesn't matter what happens around you. You build your life on that rock, on the eternal truth. So that one day when you stand there, you're not going to say, oh, I should have. You say, here I am, Jesus. I've lived for you. I've died for you. I've seen you so that my eyes can see the King. May your life this year please God and Him alone. Stop compromising, church. Stop preaching another gospel. Stop trying to save yourself. There's good news. And the more we speak it, the more we release it, people are going to come. Maybe you're a Christian here for a long time and you haven't shared that good news with somebody else. I tell you, it's urgent times, people. People are more hungry and more thirsty now than ever before. But are you ready, or are you focusing on yourself? Has the devil entrapped you in your circumstances in such a place that you never share anymore? You've become quiet. You've become an enemy of the gospel. Because you're either for it and you're running with it, or you're standing against it. But there's no spectators in this room. You're either fighting against it or you're going for it and you're running. You're running over the mountains and saying, hey, there's good news. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here this morning in Hermonas. And that kingdom is where the King reigns in your life and where he reigns in my life. May you never stop talking about him. May the name of Jesus be on your lips every day of this year. Don't be silent, because if you're going to be silent, the rocks are going to start to cry out. They're going to say, Hosanna to the King of David. So maybe you're here today and I've been preaching and been sharing some stuff with you and your heart is hard. I want to say to you, sir, don't resist God. You are here because he loves you. Lady, you're struggling to sleep. And there's a couple of you here. And you're trying to hide it. You know, one can just only put on so much makeup. Emotional, spiritual, and physical makeup. Stop wearing the makeup. Emotionally and spiritually. Stop pretending. Just come. Come to Christ. Come to surrender. Come to say, God, my model is a 2001 model and it's not working anymore. The wheels are coming off. The battery is flat. The doors doesn't close. But Lord, I want to say yes to your call on my life. There's some of you that are struggling with sleeplessness, insomnia, and the Lord wants to heal you. There's a lady sitting here somewhere that has been struggling to sleep for a couple of years. I don't know where you are. Is that you? Just sit there. We're going to pray for you. Father, we pray your peace over her. Right now we take authority, Lord, over everything that stands against your peace. Lord, we break every curse over the generations. Lord, and even the voices that she's been hearing, we quiet those voices. She will not hear it again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Peace. Like Jesus stood up on the boat and the disciples were panicking. Right now we speak peace. We release your peace. Peace be still. Peace be still. I want everybody to close their eyes. If you're sitting here today and you are troubled in your soul, There are many troubled waters. There's relationships that have been breaking down in your life. There's stuff that's not working. There's anxiety. The Lord showed me you're anxious. You are very anxious. There's a lot of people like that that I need to pray for today. And I want to just pray right where you're sitting. I want to pray God's peace over your life. But you know, we need to acknowledge. We need to say, hey, like the blind man that stood next to the road and say, Jesus, I want to see. Everybody else said, keep quiet. Don't make such a noise. Be reserved. Be professional. And he just shouted louder. And then when he stood before Jesus, Jesus asked him and says, what can I do for you today? That's what I so love about Jesus is he's a gentleman. He only comes when you open up your heart. When you say to him, I need you, God. That's what I so love about my best friend. Is he stands at the door and he knocks. And whether you scream at him, whether you shout at him, whether you're angry at him today, he will always keep on knocking. Because he wants to come and sit with you, sir. Lady, he wants to come and look you in the eyes over the table and say, I've chosen you. Nobody can take you away out of my purpose and out of my will. That's the Jesus, and he's knocking at your door today saying, I want to take away those burdens, those bags of cement, those stuff, those fears, those anxieties that have been over you, that's been bugging you. Because you know, there's a lady here, you've been praying and say, I don't want this. I don't want this stuff in this coming year again. I had the most terrible 2015. You actually just want to run away. And if that's you, while every eye is closed, I want you to just raise your hand where you're sitting. I want to just pray a prayer of faith over you. Father, you see these hands, Lord. Troubled hands. But that's why we're here. Because your church is a hospital. It's not a hotel. We are broken. We are afraid. But today, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll come and heal through your Holy Spirit. Come and bring comfort. Just raise your hand very high if that's you today. Because I want you to show God, God, I need you. Here I am. I'm surrendering. Nobody's looking. People are just surrendering. Lots of people. Lord, there's some people that really need your peace in this place. And today, Lord, we ask that you come as the Prince of Peace. Lord, some people panicking about their future. They've been asking questions, been praying desperate prayers. But thank you today, Lord, that you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. And we're not afraid. Thank you, God. I want you, where you're sitting, and if you raise your hand, I want you, maybe you haven't raised your hand, you're a bit shy, I want you just to say to God, just tell him right where you're sitting, something that's troubling you at the moment. Say, God, I've got this burden. There's some of you that haven't spoken to God for a long time, but just do that. Say, God, here I am, a broken vessel. Lots of brokenness in this place, lots of fear, but you know, that's why we come to Christ. Not because we're perfect or we can give him anything. It's not an exchange of goodness here. It's a desperate people longing for a real God. Saying, God, heal our brokenness, heal our pain, heal our fear. There's a child here, there's a son here, and a daughter here, your brother and sister. You've had a terrible relational breakdown over your family this past year, and that God is going to heal you today. He says he's with you. He's provided for you. I don't know where you are, but if that brother and sister, while every eye is closed, I want you just to show me where you are, because I want to pray for you specifically today. Where's that brother and sister? You are here today, and I want to pray for you, for God's healing in your life, for restoration. I don't want to put you on the spot, because God doesn't do that. God doesn't do shaming. God does invitation. Is there anybody like that? Oh, that you? Is that you? I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for that family especially that has gone through massive storms in 2015, Lord. I pray for this family, Lord, that you'll restore, especially in the generations to come, Lord, restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Restore what the devil and the world has stolen. Restore it hundredfold, we pray. I don't know about you, but I can feel God's peace in this place. I want everybody to stand, but without anybody moving or saying a word. Let's just stand as we're going to just respond to God. Because there's two groups of people yet this morning that I really want to pray for. And the first group is a group of people that are far from Christ. A group of people that you know in your heart that you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've known him before. Maybe you've been on that camp when you're in grade 10 or grade 12. You've made big commitments, but life has thrown a lot of stuff at you. Life has come at you and you've been doubting God. You've been running away from his call on your life. You've been disillusioned even with church, maybe. And you know in your heart today that you are lonely. God showed me you are lonely. There's an emptiness inside of you that only he can fill. But there's great brokenness, meaning that it's very tough for you to trust. And God says today to you that he knows about that trust issue, where you have put out your life and many times trust has been broken. People that were close to you has hurt you. They've come to put labels on you. And then you started to run in directions that is where you started to hurt yourself through your own choices and your own things. And so you're a master at keeping God at a distance. But today as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is tugging in your heart. That thing that you're experiencing, that shortness of breath, isn't about the heat. It's about God's call. It's called conviction. It's called the desire of God to know you. And for you to know him. So maybe you're here today, you've never committed your life to Christ. Or maybe you're backslidden, you're a visitor. Or you've been in church here for 10 years. But you know that Jesus is just a name. You know about him. Like Pastor Andre said, you know about him, but you don't know him. And today, here at the beginning of this year, God invites you to a new life. He invites you to a life of surrender, a scary place. A place where you're not in control, but a place where you can say to him, God, I'm building my house on the rock. Eternity, that's what matters. This life is just net a druppelkie, just a little spot on a big ocean of what you're going to do for eternity. And you have to choose where that's going to be, with him or without him. So while every eye is closed, if that's you today, I want you to raise your hand very high and say, I need to respond. You're coming back to Christ, or you're coming to him for the first time. I want you to raise your hand very high, because I want to pray with you and introduce you to my best friend. He's called Jesus. Thank you. Any other hands? I want you to raise your hand very high, because I'm gonna do it at home. Jesus died publicly naked for you on a cross, and he deserves your public opinion of him. He deserves a public stance. Because that's the only way you break darkness over your life is if you confess that he's Lord of your life in front of a lot of people. Thank you. Thank you for that. And anybody else, you need to come to Christ today. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you've done that before. That conviction in your heart. Lots of hands. There's some hands going up. I want you to just say, yes, that's me. I'm responding. Say to Jesus, Jesus, here I am. Maybe you've made that commitment before, but today you're just saying, God, I've never confessed you publicly. My life is like a roller coaster with you, up and down, up and down. I'm never sure of whether I am saved. And today, you need to put up your hand as well and say, God, today I want to walk out here, not the panel beating thing, but having a real relationship with Christ. I want every believer to pray, because these are holy moments. This is why we live. We live to see God and to introduce other people to see God. Thank you, God. Anybody else? Some hands going up there at the back. Thank you, God. I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. Those people that have raised their hands, or even if you have not raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come to the front, because I want to meet with you, and Pastor Andre's here. We want to meet with you. We want to pray with you. I want you to come right to the front, because there's something powerful when you make that statement. When you walk out and say, Jesus, I make you Lord. I don't care what people say anymore. You're the only one that matters to me. So if you've raised your hand, I want you to come quickly and come and meet me. You're right on the right-hand side. Won't you just come? Thank you, lady, for your boldness. Come. If you want to pray that prayer, I want us to come. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, all those people who raised their hands, come. This is not a shame business. This is knowing Christ. The best moment of your life. It's where eternity steps into your heart. You've raised your hand, I want you to come. Come, 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 quickly. Even if you haven't raised your hand, I want you to come. Because it's not the prayer. It's Jesus' invitation for you to have life. Hallelujah. If you need to be in front, I want you to come quickly. I just sense there's somebody that's going through a massive battle for your soul. So I want us just to pray for a moment. Just pray for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. There's somebody here today, you're at a crossroad of your life and you need to come to Christ. Everything inside of you says, there's the door, run away. You've done it so many times in your life, but you need to come to Him today. You need to say to Him today, God, here I am. I say yes. Because saying nothing is also in a response. It's saying, I'm saving myself here. I'm going to do it my own way. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come, sir. Come quickly. Times are running out. We're living in desperate times. We don't know if you're going to have another opportunity to respond. Because this year is going to be busy. You're not going to have moments like these where God stands at your door and knocks. God is speaking to you. Will you come? I'll give one more moment. Second group of people that I want to pray for is those who are desperately lonely. Not alone, you are lonely. In your heart, there's an emptiness. There's a loneliness. And it's gripping you. It's a heaviness on your life. And goes with confusion and anxiety and things like that. If you want prayer for that, I want you to come and stand on this side here on my left, on my right-hand side, on your left-hand side. We're going to take some oil. We're going to anoint you. God says He's Emmanuel. He's God with you. Then I want to pray for people that have got insomnia. You're struggling to sleep. You're struggling to sleep, and especially people with back pains. You've got a lot of back pain, and you've been struggling, you've been praying. We're going to pray that God would heal you, because Jesus is still the same. He still heals today. There's also somebody with an ear infection. We're going to pray for you. It's been coming like it's the third time in a row. So if you're struggling with a lot of back pain, won't you come and stand in front? We're going to take some oil. We're going to just pray for you. As we speak God's life over your life. Oh, that's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't change. The same Jesus that walked around on the earth, He still heals today. Troubled hearts. Lord, thank you for your healing right now. Thank you for your healing right now. Thank you for your deliverance right now. Thank you, God. Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have never changed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, I pray for these people that are troubled, Lord, in their souls. Thank you that you come to heal. Thank you that you come to take away every heaviness. Lord, the cries of their hearts you have heard. There's some pains, Lord, that are deep embedded in their souls. And you know about those pains. You know about those fears. You know about those things that have come to trouble them, Lord. Lord, the stuff that weighs on their hearts. And we bring it to you today, Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you take away every burden, every pain. Father, the cry of their hearts, Lord, there's somebody here, Lord, that has lost their tears. There's no more tears. They just cry with their hearts with deep pain and agony. But I thank you for your healing today. I thank you that you know, Lord, about the times when they're just desperate, God. Lord, there's a lady here. Her husband has walked out on her, speaking bad stuff about her. just walked away, Lord. But it's just been a cycle of years of abuse and of speaking of death. Lord, we take out the sting of death right now. We take out the sting of death. And we speak your peace. We speak your peace, God, over people here. We speak your healing over people right here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for healing people, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your healing. We speak your healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you take away. You've come to set the captives free. There are four people here that are struggling with suicidal thoughts. You are struggling with suicidal thoughts. And I don't want to embarrass you, but I want us to pray for you. So if that's you, I want you just to come and stand right here in front, because I want to pray for you personally. You're struggling with suicidal thoughts. And it's been coming at you, and you cannot quiet those thoughts. But the Lord is going to heal you. He's going to speak peace over you. So while we're praying, won't you just come right to the front here and come and stand here, because we would love to pray with you. And just take authority. That's why the Church of God is here. So that we can say, hey, back off, devil. Back off circumstances. Jesus is Lord. Amen.